You have entered the Arcade Cafe. Today, I don't think I should keep telling you guys that I drink this often.
Still drinking another big beer.
It's one of the ones I've already had.
Is it because we made fun of your drinking on the Drunken Pen Writing 100 DBS yes. episode?
Yeah. I feel like you guys made me sound like a fucking dickhead in that episode. Probably.
I don't really remember recording that episode.
Well, I'm your host, Bryce Yoli, and I'm here with my pal and cousin-in-law and more eloquent co-host, Caleb James.
Yep.
Here in the Arcade Cafe lies a baby spice worm-sized answer to those full-length episodes of the main feature of Arcade Bookshop. At only 20 to 30 minutes in length, we bring you our current thoughts on our video game progress, our book progress. I do that every time.
Suck ass.
Progress.
Progress.
A little bit of video game news that's probably already a little old. Occasional state of the podcast info, our wants, our needs, our private thoughts, our deepest, darkest secrets, and the sweet nothings that Caleb whispers in the bedroom.
Good God, we don't even need an episode. You just have a 20-minute intro.
I've done it every time. What's different today? It's longer now because we've said stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Do you want to get down to business, Caleb?
I want to get down to brass tacks. Yeah, I'm really tired today for some reason. It's Wednesday. I don't know why we do these on Wednesday. Oh, because we have limited time to do anything ever.
Yeah.
Why don't we have jobs? Just quit our jobs and that would be better.
Well, hopefully Bernie Sanders gets that 4-day work week established.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll work for all of us.
Well, since we already brought this up, I just want to channel Spencer.
Again, channel Spencer.
Because he and I don't actually talk. We just say things to each other via each other's podcasts.
Yeah, pretty much.
So since Spencer is so aggravated with me for not
having
him on.
He hates your guts right now. He is very irate with you.
Just because we didn't have him on the Stephen King episode?
Yes, he's very upset about that. And then you missed the Dragon Ball Z news, too.
Everybody listening, we're going to have a future episode on a certain Stephen King book that I won't mention just yet because it's a little ways down the line. But Spencer is a big Stephen King fan. Spencer is Caleb's co-host, if you don't know that, but on the Drunken Pen Writing podcast. And Spencer's aggravated because I didn't invite him onto that episode. Didn't even think about it. But
even worse, you sat in his chair and used his microphone and headphones in my studio to record that episode. He could have been here, he said.
Well, you're Spencer's friend. Why didn't you invite him?
I don't know. I don't remember what we were even supposed to record that day, I don't think.
I don't know. But I just want to put it out there. He's welcome to come on the show. We can do another Stephen King book. There's plenty of Stephen King books that would go with video games, undoubtedly. We could probably do a Dark Tower book. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, but then I have to read the Dark Tower, and I am not reading all that right now.
Yeah,
he's
but the
already trying to make me read. He already wants me to read the Dark Tower, and it's just I don't got time.
Did you read The Gunslinger yet?
No, did not.
That one's not that long.
Yeah, but then you got to read the next one, and the fucking next one.
The second one is the best one. But anyway, Spencer, you're welcome to come on. Why don't you think of a book and maybe if you can think of a game that you would also want to play and you can be on two episodes.
I don't remember if he mentioned it on air, but he wants to do a Ninja Turtles game.
Okay. Let's do it.
I would relate to the Stephen King episode, but he does want to do a Ninja Turtles game.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Figure it out. There's probably turtles. No, there's a, you know what? There is a turtle symbol all throughout the Dark Tower.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So that works. We could just do that pairing. Fine.
So there we go. So, okay, Spencer, you're welcome to come on. I thought we'd jump into gaming news first this time, since we typically, we don't always start with gaming news, but, I don't want to step over your toes, Caleb, but do you have anything gaming-wise?
Over my toes or on my toes?
Shut up.
Step gently over my toes. Okay,
I guess it would be more polite to step over your toes.
I haven't seen news. I think there's a new Dragon Ball thing that just came out. Actually, I don't know if it came out today. Let me look. It'll be gone now. Every time I go to look it up, it's gone.
Well, then I'll start here. I don't know that much, but I saw that Stardew Valley, their most recent update broke their player count record. This past week.
I actually thought about getting that just because it was on sale on Steam.
Oh, you should get it. I want to play it. So if you'll play it, I'll play that.
Isn't it just like a farming simulator though?
Yeah, but I think there is. I think
like Harvest Moon.
Yeah, but I think there's some story to it. I believe. I would totally play that. But this update includes a whole bunch of added stuff, and I didn't want to do the whole rundown. But my favorite thing they added is drinkable mayonnaise.
Ew.
Yeah.
I mean, all mayonnaise is drinkable, isn't it?
Yeah, and that brings up a really good point for me because I'd like to talk about the revolutionizing food. And by that, I'll start by saying what a big, big fan of mayonnaise I am. I just love mayonnaise. I think there should be more entire meals dedicated to it. Mayonnaise appetizers, mayonnaise custards, mayonnaise soup, mayonnaise hair gel. I could eat mayonnaise all day long. And I sometimes mix seasonings into mayonnaise, and it's probably already like a condiment, but I just think I could just eat a bowl of this, like pudding. I think before I was calling it, I talked about this before, I was calling it, I think I called it like a savory pudding or something like that.
Oh,
a savory custard.
Ew.
It's so good.
Why do you want to eat that much mayonnaise?
I don't know, but now I want to play Stardew Valley because they're on the same page as me.
Spencer and I, many moons ago when we worked at Walmart as lowly buggy pushers in my early 20s, we were walking through the Walmart parking lot on our night shift, and I said, Spencer, have you ever noticed how gross this parking lot is? He's like, what do you mean, Caleb? Well, just look around. And we turned, and this is a true story, 100% factual. I have pictures somewhere. We turned to find a Miracle Whip container, and it was like a quarter full. It was a big container, and it had a fancy one of those fun straws, like shaped like shit, like a heart or something that swirled all around. And that was filled with Miracle Whip. So somebody was drinking that out of a fucking fancy straw. And it was so gross. And to this day, I know Miracle Whip is the untangy, what is it, the zesty or it don't have that zip. It's got the, unless it's Miracle Whip or horseshit. So it's the grosser mayonnaise, but still, it's a mayonnaise. And so now I'm wondering, was that you? Did you come to Washington, Pennsylvania years ago to drink a container of mayonnaise?
I wouldn't put it past me.
It's fucking sick. It's fucking raunchy. Dude,
so you're not a fan of Miracle Whip?
Not a big fan of Miracle Whip. I don't mind mayonnaise, but I'm not eating it like pudding.
Oh, man, every time I put like
freezing
on
it and making mayonnaise ice cream and like fucking
anytime I use mayonnaise on anything, I finish what I'm making and then I take
just
a little
eat
bite
the mayonnaise.
Of it.
I was just sick.
But I used to use Miracle Whip when I made tuna salad. That was my dad taught me how to do it that way. It was really good.
I think my dad also used to do that, and I mean, like, I'm not a something about the sweetness of Miracle Whip, it doesn't really do it for me. But I mean, I could eat it, but I don't like it necessarily.
I like it, but it's one of those things where I like it because it's like junky, like cafeteria food.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about mayonnaise so much? Why'd you bring this up?
We can move on.
I mean, I do have news now. I found the news I was looking for, but I was intrigued by your love of mayonnaise. Hey, you know what's an actual drink? Because I watch How to Drink on YouTube sometimes. It's this guy, Greg, and it's fun. He makes all kinds of drink in his little homemade bar setup. And one of the bits he does every once in a while is like, there's a few. One is customer drinks that, like, why would you order that? And he gets actual receipts from just these gross drinks and he makes them. And then sometimes he tries to make them, like, salvage them. But one of the bits he does is like anime, movies, TV shows, like the drinks they have on there. And he's done quite a few with mayonnaise. Usually it's a shot, but he's done a lot of mayonnaise ones. And it's just like, sometimes they kind of look good, believe it or not. Like it's one of those like morning shots where it's like Tabasco, mayonnaise, something else.
Oh, yeah. So
that might not be too bad, but yeah, he does a lot of those on there. But no, my news.
Okay.
It's not really news, but they just dropped a new, sort of looking like a third trailer. I guess this is a new, or maybe a bunch of trailers. For the Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. So they got gameplay footage out now. So I guess this is the new big Dragon Ball game. I have not kept up with these, but apparently everyone is very excited and it looks awesome. So that might be something to keep an eye out for.
Interesting. Yeah, I tried to play a couple of those games. Like, I mean, not the new ones, but the ones more like in the
Budokai.
Yeah, like the PS2 era. I played a couple of those, and they were cool, but I don't know how many of those I can really play. I mean, because first of all, I've only seen through like maybe like halfway through GT, and that's where I stopped watching.
So you just watched the entirety of the Dragon Ball series up till almost GT?
I didn't watch it straight through, but I think I've seen most of them just from watching.
I mean, GT is the one that nobody gives a shit about. So if you watch Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, you watched all of it, pretty much.
Yeah.
GT is not canon. It doesn't count.
But I would still imagine that the games have more recent characters, unless they're still the same characters.
Yeah, I mean, they get some new characters from Dragon Ball Super, I'm sure, now. But, I mean, most of them are still the same.
Yeah, but still, regardless, it's kind of how I feel about fighting games in general. I don't really... Even Mortal Kombat, I really like Mortal Kombat, but I don't have the patience for it that I did when I was a kid playing like Super Nintendo.
I like watching all the fatalities from the newest Mortal Kombat because they're badass, but I don't really want to play those games anymore. I'm not into fighting games like I was when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like I like the visuals of it, but playing them, I feel like it stagnates for me real, real fast.
The only fighting game I ever was really, really good at was Soul Calibur for Dreamcast. I was amazing. I could beat anyone at that. I probably could have like won tournaments in that game. I don't know why. It was just something about that weird clunky game, Dreamcast controller, and I just was really good at that. Street Fighters, awful. Mortal Kombat's terrible. Like any of the other games, I'm just not really good at. But Soul Calibur, that was my shiz.
I never had a chance to. I had a Soul Calibur game, but I don't know. I don't think I ever played it. But I never had a chance to play on a Dreamcast.
Dreamcast was awesome. It was my favorite system of all time. I just wish they had more games for it. And people hated the controller, the regular, the white controller, not like the big clunky red one, because I had one of those too. I actually liked it. The only thing I didn't like is the stupid cord came down, I think, at the bottom, and you had to. Hook in the back, but then it even like its memory card was like a little Game Boy. It was fucking awesome. You can get on the internet with the thing before any other system was letting you on the internet. It was great.
The first time I heard somebody talk about that, I was in high school, I think. I was like, is that even a real thing? Like, I had never heard of it.
Oh, yeah. It was real.
All of my video game education came from my brothers, and they only did like the real, real mainstream systems like Nintendo and PlayStation and Xbox.
Dreamcast, I think, literally was just the timing was bad. That was it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know if it just came out a little earlier or if it was able to come out a little later and have a better lineup of games. I think it would have been, like,
that was one of the greatest Sega systems, right?
Yeah, at least in America. I don't know if they had any others in Japan, but yeah.
Yeah, because that came out and it was competing. Wasn't it competing with
PS1?
PlayStation and 64. So
that's why it got buried. So I said the timing. If it came out a little earlier, like before PlayStation, I think it would have. I mean, it might have been released before PlayStation, but they didn't have the games.
It also might have done better if PlayStation didn't become its own thing, and because it was supposed to be, you know, like it was supposed to be the Nintendo PlayStation or something like that, and then it turned into the Nintendo 64 because PlayStation went a different route and did their own thing. So maybe if it stayed just Nintendo, they still would have been viable.
Like, you never played Shenmue, probably, like, on Dreamcast. Right. That was, they literally mapped, whatever that game was set in, 1988 or 86 or whatever it was, they literally went and looked up the weather forecast real time for every day of the year or whatever this game takes place in, and the weather actually changes as it did for real.
Weird.
Yeah, like, that's they put in so much effort into that game, and it was a lot of fun. Except for the forklift part, because there's a part where you work as a forklift driver and you literally have to go to work. I keep saying literally too much, but you do have to go to work and you have to fucking drive a forklift and like it's a real job. Like, oh, this is too real. I don't like that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be extraordinarily interesting. But yeah, Dragon Ball, that I'm sure I would have fun with it right now for a minute, but I think my main thing is that these games now, the combos are so complex. And yeah. It's like, I don't have time to figure this stuff out and like constantly be pausing the menu and stuff. And I'm sure it's probably amazing. I just don't know if I have the patience for it.
Yeah, I give up on fighting games. I don't really care. I don't want to invest time in something. Unless you're doing tournaments, I mean, it's not really like a story that you're unraveling or anything.
Right.
It's the second day in a row that Nitro has been acting up when I'm doing a podcast. He was acting up on Monday when we had a guest on. He was wooing and all kinds of shit. It was really bad.
Jeez.
I don't know.
What's wrong, Nitro?
I don't know.
Well, I now think that I need to, buff up. Is that the word on? That's probably not the word on. Dragon Ball stuff. Now that Spencer is so angry that I don't know it well enough from your last episode,
it wasn't so much that you don't know it; it's the fact that the creator died and you don't know it, and you're talking about it. That's the problem. Your diligent research.
I let it be your news. You mentioned it right before the podcast.
I guess. It doesn't matter now. It's over and done with.
Whatever. I mean, it's not like... it's not like I didn't like Dragon Ball. I didn't know who he was because I wasn't like a super fan of it, but I liked it a lot growing up, so still relevant to me. Anyway, the other piece of gaming news I had... Have you heard of this game called Balatro?
I have not.
So... You heard me talk about Slay the Spire before, which is that game that you keep snoring about whenever I start talking about it because it bores the hell out of you when I talk about it. Yeah,
sounds mad boring, yo.
All right, this is the same thing.
Oh, fucking God. Why?
So it's like extremely popular because it's... So I told you what a roguelike is, and I can't sit here and define it for you again, but the general idea is that you play kind of like a warrior somehow. And then you go through a series of challenges or some kind of path to defeat something. And then, but you always start over. It's not like a long investment thing. Uh-huh. So while Spencer's sleeping, I'm just going to keep talking about this.
Spencer's sleeping.
Oh my God, Spencer. I'm mixing your names up now. Jesus.
Look, if you want Spencer to be the co-host of this podcast, I could arrange that.
I don't think Spencer will play the games, and
no, he won't. But I mean, it's hard to get me to play the games.
Ugh, I am out of sorts today. While Caleb's sleeping, Balatro, or however you say it, Balatro, it sold 1 million copies in its first month
to a bunch of dorks.
So it's a roguelike deck builder, like Slay the Spire is. Oh, only man, you play only Caleb. This might be more interesting to you.
Okay.
It's not just like a random deck builder with like stupid magic cards. Mm-hmm. It might have those attributes, but you play poker. You actually play poker. So you have to learn. You do not.
I do. I don't even know how to play poker. I don't like card games. I only like blackjack. Well, that's it.
I guess this was just a lose after lose after lose situation.
I mean, it feels like you're just saying the same thing you did about the last game that I tried to forget you talking about.
Well, I think everyone is a little bit interested in this.
Look, if a million people want to play it, then it obviously has an interest. I'm just not the demographic.
All right. Well, I'm just telling you about it, and I'm telling everyone, all of our 10 listeners, that Balatro is a pretty popular game, and it's probably worth checking out, because it's probably one of those, like Slay the Spire.
Check it out.
My favorite thing about it is that it's a non-commitment game, so you don't have to sit there and spend 50 hours playing an RPG. And you still get like satisfaction and like, you get satisfaction out of it.
Yeah.
So
satisfaction. And
so that's that.
All that stuff. And mayonnaise.
Real quick. I love mayonnaise. If you guys take anything away from this episode, I love mayonnaise.
I got a kitty on my sweater.
Yeah. And if you guys are only listening to this, you're not seeing the kitties on his sweater, so you're missing out.
You can hear me talk about it, though.
Check this out on YouTube.
One's green, one's white, one's other green.
So, did you see Dune yet?
I have not. I have not seen the second Dune. I heard it's really, really good, but at the same time, I'm not in a hurry to see it, because the last one took 10 hours to watch.
Yeah. Well, I took... Since I had Saturday off and you weren't available, I went to the movies by myself to see it, and I prepped. I had a coffee in the morning, but I said, Bryce, you pee-pee a lot. Don't drink anything else the rest of the day.
That's a rookie move. Just bring a pee cup.
Yeah, well, I'm
pee in the coffee
modest.
Cup while you're drinking it and just refill.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those are the smart thoughts that I didn't have.
Or that big Dune bucket they got that looks like a sex toy with like weird tentacles. Yeah, you just pee in that.
But I didn't. And I didn't have to go to the bathroom the whole entire time, all 3 hours. And yeah, it was pretty fucking awesome. I did like the first one. The second one was better. I still feel like these movies, even the original one, they all have this vagueness about them where I just can't understand completely what is happening.
That's how the book is too, though.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, there's a lot of detail, but then you just find yourself going, wait, who, why, what? And you just get like a whole bunch of names coming at you too.
Yeah.
It's like Dingleberry, Humperdork, and Sloppy Moses, and
well, that's kind
Jesuit
of disappointing. Is that was it makes Gibberow. Me want to read it because then I was imagining that I would get the story better if I read it, but maybe not.
Just read it anyway.
Well, maybe I will. Well, you should see it, and we'll move on from there.
I do want to see it.
Do you have any writing news?
Well, you owe me an apology. I mean, that's probably the first thing.
So this whole time, I didn't believe Caleb that he got accepted into PA Bards.
I've been saying I have been the whole time.
And they sent out the proof for the journal. And wouldn't you know it, 2 pages after me is Caleb James. So Caleb is a PA Bard.
He's been saying that every episode.
You've been saying it in a way that, like when you said that you got into the New Yorker.
And you didn't believe me about that either.
And it wasn't true.
It didn't come out yet.
All right.
You're never going to know it's true now, will you?
Yeah, because who knows how far in advance they accept you for those.
I was going to play that bit all the way until we got to the fucking thing, the poetry reading. And you were going to open that book. Or even better was I was just going to go up and read. And be like, wait, what the fuck? And that would have been wonderful. But no, they had to send a stupid proof out. Bullshit.
Well... The next part of this conversation, they just told us, they just emailed us and confirmed the date of the reading that they're holding for the book launch for PA Bard's Western Poetry Review 2024. And unfortunately, Caleb, I can't make it.
Why?
Literally the day before they announced it, I booked a huge trip.
Oh, fucking and jerk.
It starts on the 16th.
Oh. They said that also in the first email that it was going to be on the 16th.
They did?
Yeah, I already put it in my calendar right when they did that.
Oh, I don't remember that. And it could have changed.
It could have changed.
Because it was, I don't know. Yeah, well, I thought there was something that I was missing, so maybe I subconsciously did see that. But yeah, I just booked a trip, to Iceland.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Did you get your residency or are you just booking a trip?
No, I decided I didn't feel like waiting for a residency. Cause I really want to go somewhere. I feel like I gotta do something for like a confidence boost. And, I was talking to Shrey about it and she was supportive about it, so I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna go somewhere. So I was between Iceland, Germany, and Ireland, and this was just a conversation with myself. Germany because I know a little bit of German, Ireland because I have a little bit of Irish in me, and I think that would be a cool culture to explore. But I looked up flights for Iceland, and I found one round trip period where it was like super cheap to fly. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even say it to Shreya, but when she got home, she came in and she was like, you should go to Iceland. And I was like, well, that settles it.
All right.
So yeah, I got a half decent price flight to Iceland for, it's a 10-day trip, but you know, like kind of two of those days are flying, but Yeah, Reykjavik.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, I figure I'll end up using it like a residency anyway. I'll just more expensive, but I'll end up getting some inspiration, some new experiences, and I'll just sit and write in cafes probably. And also explore things, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. So, other than that, I also had my poem in Star 82 review come out this, I think this past week.
Oh, I don't have the book with me. You could read it for free online, or you can get the book, which looked pretty cool from what you sent me.
Yeah, I meant to have it sitting here, and I left it in the bedroom, but it is, I think it's just star82review.com. Yeah, star82review.com. It is live. But it's kind of, you know, a lot of these journals I get into, which aren't a lot, but a lot of the times when I get into them and they have a print copy, it's kind of meh. But I feel like this is the first one that's, well, not the first one, but it's one of the better ones that I've gotten, better print copies. So it's worth, and it's not that expensive. It's like $11, I think. So it's kind of worth it. Yeah. It's got some art in there too, different stuff. So if you want to see some of my stuff and check out some other unique stories and poems and mixed breeds of stories and poems, check out star82review.com or place an order.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any other writing stuff come up?
I do. Strange Days Zine. I am in their spring issue. It's issue 14. They just released the cover today, and it looks really fucking cool, actually. Nice. You could pre-order that now if you go on Instagram. Actually, you could just go to strangedayszine.com, all one word, or you can go to their Instagram, also just Strange Days Zine. If you want to check that out, it looked pretty cool, and I'm sure the stories in there are fun, because it's all like, some are like folktale and occult and mystery and weirdness, so I like that kind of stuff.
Awesome.
That's my next thing that's coming out. Do I have anything after that? Yeah, I do in May, but I don't want to talk about that right now.
Okay. I guess my last thing is just something I already said to you yesterday, but I'm really doing well with my rejection goal this year.
Yeah, which is great.
It's great that I'm doing well with my rejection goal, my 100 rejections like I did last year. I'm up to 27 now, I think. So I'm kind of in the right spot to where I should be for March. However, I think the magazines out there that I've submitted to are a little bit confused if they're listening to this. You know, I have a rejection goal, but the point of my rejection goal is so that I can get accepted. So I don't want people to get confused about the fact that I submit stuff. But you know, when I submit my work, I do want it to be accepted, and I want it to be published. Yeah. I don't just want to get it rejected. So just throwing that out there.
You'd rather miss your rejection goal if it means you got a lot more acceptances, obviously.
Yeah. Yes. So getting a little bit frustrated, but just want to put that positive energy out there for all those magazines listening in.
Well, on this coming Tuesday's episode of the Drunken Pen Writing Podcast, we interviewed CJ Spataro, and she was telling us all about rejections and acceptances and submissions and the publishing industry and all kinds of things. So
cool.
I think you'll dig that episode because there's a lot of cool information on there. And she was published by a bunch of places that have rejected us.
Oh, lovely. I'll check that out. Well, stay tuned this Monday the 25th for another lovely episode of Arcade Bookshop. We're talking about this nice little game called A Memoir Blue. It's available on all platforms. It's an indie game, and it's only about an hour long, but it's not something to sleep on. And our conversation's actually not too bad when we're not good. Talking about Contra.
Can I bring up one Contra fact?
Okay.
I know we're supposed to save this probably for the episode, but a big spoiler for Sea of Stars, so if you don't want a spoiler, stop listening now. The end of Sea of Stars is kind of Contra. Just saying. The very end boss.
It's almost like the game ends and then you just play Contra.
It's fucking great that's
a thing. It's just like it's like, so hi. It's like, hi, you beat the game, but wait, not yet. You have to also beat Contra, and then you beat the game.
It's fucking great. I love it. I love that that was there for no reason. It was weird, but I liked it.
So after you listen to Arcade Bookshop next Monday, come on back Friday for another episode of this, Arcade Cafe.
Yeah.
So, you ready to depart, Caleb?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You've just spent some time in the Arcade Cafe, and we hope you enjoyed yourself. I'm Bryce Ioli with my pal and cousin-in-law, Caleb James.
Me.
And we'll see you next week.
Don't drink mayonnaise.
Yeah, well.